Chapter 2, First John, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandments, or commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is the darkness, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now turn over, if you will, to chapter 5. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Then notice, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for your love to us through Christ our Lord. What a joy it is to gather this day in the name of the Lord, to remember the one who died for us, was buried and rose again, the one who returneth. And we just thank you for each dear believer here. And we pray that you'll bless each one in his life, give safety and protection and blessing and growth in the Lord. And we pray if there be any unsaved that do not know the Savior, and for little ones who down the road will make that decision, may they come to know the Lord of life. Be with us. Bless those in our world in difficulty and trial, those around us, and may we show the love of Christ in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been noticing some of the important truths from the book of 1 John, a wonderful epistle. And this morning we talked about one of the great truths is the fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. The Lord wants us to exercise the fullness of joy. And you know, the Christian life, it is one of joy. It can have sadness and sorrow, for in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said that he had overcome the world. And truly, dear friend, a Christian has all that he is going for him, and he can live in the joy of life and the blessing of the life. It passes quickly, but we can rejoice in the Lord. We talked about the fellowship that we have together, and we talked about the keys to this joy, which were fellowship, walking in the light, confession of our sin, and daily cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would like to go on, if we would, in chapter 2 to notice freedom from sinning. Notice carefully what we say, freedom from sinning. Now notice verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children. You know, John never uses the word son in the sense that Paul does. He always uses children. It says in John, as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. It's the word children. To become the sons of God. I believe that Paul used that word in the sense of maturity. We are the sons of God as we grow in him. He was using that thought and that concept. But he was using, John was, the fact that we are born into the family of God when we get saved. You know, I suppose one of the hardest things to do as a youngster, I would think, as I look back, is to really grow up. You know what I mean? I remember when I grew up, when I realized the responsibilities of life, and this wasn't a playground, and life had a lot of responsibilities to it. All of us know what it is to do that and to really grow. We are, though, little children, and we always have that in us, don't we? We are still children. And I notice in playing with the grandchildren, you enjoy the games of youth. You enjoy the games of youth. I've got about 9 little cars for my grandsons. I say they're for them. But you know, sometimes you wonder the things that we like, the things that we enjoy doing. We're all a little children at heart. And I believe John treats us in that way. And we're all wayward. We all get out of the way, and we all need the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes to us as little children. The Lord's tending to his family, dear friend. The Lord's looking after his own. The Lord will look after us, and the Lord will keep us in every way. He writes in that vein, my little children, these things. And these things are very important. These are the great truths we're seeing in John. These things. Over and over. You know, Romans 8 tells us all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It's important to see what the things are there. These things are some of the things that we have been mentioning. He says, I write unto you that ye sin not. It's very interesting to me to note that that means a single act of sin. That is the tense. In other words, that you do not do even a single act of sin. But then we want to trace this, we want to follow it, because it's not saying that we'll never sin, because it's very clear in there that we do sin. But he is saying here that the purpose that ye sin not. So what does he mean when he says these things that seem counter to each other? And it says, if any man sin. Man sins. People sin. There is no such thing as an eradication of evil, because we're still sinners. We sin by nature, choice, and practice. We all can do things. I was reading somewhere, and it's a lesson to me to think about it, and for us all to think about it. What is true? You know, you have to watch. You can build it up or take it down, you know, to suit some particular purpose. It's done. It's worked that way in all walks of life. I remember as a youngster being in school and selling some products, and I remember how that the man showed you how to do it. He taught you some real slick ways about it, some real slick ways to get it over, but I didn't use any of them because I just felt like it wasn't right. It wasn't right to do it. You can fool people. The world is so filled with all of these things. It says, if any man sin, we have sin. And one day, not only the penalty which has been taken care of, and we have victory over the power of sin. We have power over sin. And realize that. You and I have power through the cross not to sin. One day we'll be away from the very presence of sin. You know, it's a sinful world. It's a wicked world. And sometimes those of us who came up in other years, it's hard to get used to some of the things that come in this day that we would never have been even allowed to even consider or to even be around and so forth. It's a different day, but sin is still the same. Right is still right and wrong is wrong. And the stars in their courses will not change that in any way. Oh, that you sin not. But it says this, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I like that word advocate, a lawyer. You know, some things to me are humorous, and I think of them as a laugh in them, and I enjoy a good laugh. But I've heard that expression so often. If any person acts as his own lawyer, he has a fool for a client. And you know, you read in the papers, and now and then somebody's going to be his own lawyer. And that always pops up in my mind, you know, that there must be a lot of truth in that, because there's a lot to the law. There's a lot of details to it. And of course, a person has to know quite a bit in the practice of law. But here it says, if we sin, we have a lawyer. We have an advocate. I read of one man, when the devil accosted him, he just said, see my attorney. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our advocate, dear friend. He died for our sins, paid the penalty, and he appears before the Father for you and for me. He's interceding now for us. And you know, that's wonderful to know, isn't it? We realize that if we sin. Now it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now the word propitiation is a very interesting word, we know. The Revised Version translates it variously from propitiation to expiation. And of course, expiation, out, away, to take away. Propitiation has to do with divine satisfaction, that when Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he took away the wrath of God, and the wrath is gone. But both words come from the same underlying word. And in the King James, as I recall, is always translated as propitiation. And there is the thought, dear friend, that the wrath of God has been met. That has been taken away, and we can approach the Lord through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just wonderful to know that and to realize the joy and the blessing of the Lord. We have our sins are washed away. When our daughter was in the first grade, she was having a real rough time of it, and I was telling wife, I said, well, you know, if we start out in the first grade this way, it's going to be a long haul. So I thought we might better get it straightened out. She was quite afraid and all. So I went up to the principal's office. He was a man, I suppose, about 12 years older or so, I would just guess, than I was. I got to really know him. He's a real fine man, but he seemed like a stern man. And I was trying to kind of lift up the atmosphere a little bit, and I said, you know, this is the first time I've been in the principal's office in a long time. I thought maybe it would get a laugh, but you know, he was just as stone-faced as you could think of. And I just felt like it wasn't the time then maybe for humor. So I felt like that was the wrong thing. But you know, we got to be real good friends. That's just the way he was. You've seen people that are just that way. That's the way he was. And he just reacted to things in a different way. We got to be real good friends. He lived in Victoria a long time, and then I think he retired from the school system and went back home and so forth. But you know, it's good to have a representative. It's good to realize that in serious situations, as sin is, that we have an advocate with the Father, that the wrath is taken away and we can approach him. But that still does not answer to us the answer to the question where we're told that you sin not even an act of sin, but it says, if any man sin. What is he trying to tell us? He's saying on one hand, don't sin. On the other hand, he is saying that we will sin. Well, I'll tell you what it means to me, and what I, in thinking of it, has helped me in it. I remember in younger days, I was never a hunter. But I used to go hunting. You know, there's a difference between going hunting than being a hunter. I play golf, but I'm not a golfer. There's a difference between being a golfer and going golfing, you know. There's a lot of difference in those things. Well, I went and I walked and things like that and enjoyed getting out. But I remember on one particular occasion down in Eastern Carolina, I went with my father and we went and we hunted all day. It was a long day. It was a cold day. Boy, my feet were tired. I was cold. It was a long day. We went bird hunting, and I remember how the dog would point. I'd hear the flutter of the wings, and they were shooting at something. And I didn't know what they were shooting at, really. I knew, but I didn't ever see anything, really. I just heard the flutter of the wings, and they were gone. There was one man there, and there were several that could really shoot, but this man was a marksman. And I mean, he could turn all the way around and get one. He was getting them here and everywhere, and he was really knocking them down. So I talked to him a little bit about it, and I said, well, do you see the birds? He said, yeah, I see the birds, and I shoot at them. I said, well, I don't see anything. I don't see anything to shoot. They're gone. They're the flutter of the wings, and they're gone. Well, you know, he shot a lot of them, and we went home, and he lived in a big farmhouse. And that farmhouse was a big stone fireplace. It was cold, and there was a roaring fire. And you know, his wife, after he had dressed those birds, she took them quail, you know, those delicious white meat it is, and she fixed them in this white gravy and dumplings. I reckon, I don't recall, but I think I ate several bowls of it. You know how you are when you're young that way and you can really put it away. And I tell you, before that roaring fire in that cozy night, that was some good eating. But you know, I was so glad he was a marksman. Because we had something for supper. If it was left up to me what we ate, we'd have to have weenies or something like that because there wouldn't be anything there for us to get. But you see, he was a marksman. He took aim and he hit what he was shooting at. You know, I believe that's what he is saying here. He's saying, don't sin. He's saying, take aim. He is saying, aim high. Aim high. And he acknowledges the fact that we will fail, that we will sin. But he says, aim at not sinning. Oh, I want to encourage you as a Christian, dear friend, aim high. Aim high for Jesus. Live for the Lord. I'm sure we do. Let's tell the truth. Let's live the truth. Let's be honest in every phase of life. And you know, when you're young, start right out with it and be honest. It's yea or nay. It's yes or no. It's right or wrong. It's not a muddied thing. And don't ever do and don't ever have any part with anything that is wrong. But right down the line, because you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ in school or out of school, dear friend, if it's right or if it's wrong, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all through our lives, that is our challenge. You know, John Oxenham wrote that poem, to everyone there opens a highway and a low, and the high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low, and in between on the misty flats the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decided the way his soul should go. Dear friend, there's a high road, there's a low road. There's a way to heaven. There's a way that leads to hell. There's a way for the Christian to climb the highest way and to live a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ in the home, in life, in every phase of it, to live to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember even as a youngster, I pretty well knew what was wrong or right, didn't you? You know, there's something deep-seated in us that tells us if it's wrong or is it right. And oh, let us live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I always told my mother the truth. I don't know how she knew it. I've often heard that mothers have eyes in the back of their heads. If they do, she certainly did, because I know my mother, you might as well have told her the truth, because she knew whether it was right or whether it was wrong, and how she did, I don't know. But I would never try to fool her anyway. You know what I mean? And, you know, as you look through life, we can't fool the Lord, and we can fool some of the people some of the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And no one can fool the Lord. Oh, dear friend, here is a text. Here is a verse that tells us to aim high. These things write we to you that you sin not. To live for Jesus, a life that is true for His glory. To walk with God, to live in the Word and in the truth. And the Lord will bless it to His glory. And the Lord will bless it to His joy. Now, there are some, I think, markers that we have that will help us to do this. First of all, you know, we love the Lord Jesus. We love Him, as we read in verse 10 of chapter 2, and we love one another. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, I found this out is a pretty good rule of life. Don't criticize anybody. Don't judge anybody. You know, as life goes on, I've noticed how much you notice it. Have you seen people that judged others in parts of life and right down the road of life, the same thing happens to them? You don't ever know what will come your way. You never know what will come along the pathway of life. So let's walk in each other's shoes and realize the difficulties and the trials of life, and let's love our brothers and sisters. I'm sure that you do. But you know, more and more our heart needs to be filled, I'm sure as it is, with the love of Christ. The home that's built on love, where each loves the other, and where there's joy and a blessing and the things of the Lord. I grew up in a home of love and a home of blessing. I had a sister that was older than I was, and that's a mark, you know what I mean? To live in a home and not to fight, you know what I mean, and fuss like you will, but to live for Jesus, a life of joy and grace in the Lord. Oh, to live for Him. Not only that, but follow the leading of the Lord. Verse 12, I write unto you again, little children, because your sins are forgiven you already for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one, the devil. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. In other words, the leading of the Lord, which leads us along. You know, God leads us along. Some through various ways, some at various times, but God is leading us along. That's important, isn't it? The leading of the Lord. As we follow the leading of the Lord, we can follow His path for us. I believe that the Lord has a path for each and every one. And not only that, looking, dear friend, we need to look into the Lord. And we need to look to Him in every way. And then we need, in this looking to the Lord, to love not the world. We need to love the Lord and not this world. Two things there. That's the love we see that we should love the Lord. That special love with which we love the Lord. It's not a selfish love. He loved us through the cross. And dear friend, He puts that love in our hearts and we can love one another. That's divine love. But He says in that way we do not love the world. And that's the world system. You know, this world system is crooked. It is corrupt in every way. It promotes lying. It promotes cheating. It promotes sin in every way. And you know, as you can look, you can go right on up from the liquor crowd. You can go down through the money ways of our land. It is caught hook, line, and sinker in this world of sin. The whole thing is corrupt. And corrupt in every way. And it says, love not the world. And dear friend, we as Christians, if we want to live above sin, we cannot love the world. We cannot love the world. We should not love the world. It says, neither the things that are in the world. Oh my, that's hard, isn't it? It's all right to have things, but we don't love it. I learned years ago about that. Haven't you? I mean, something can be gone just like that. And all the things of this world can slip through our fingers. It says, if any man love the world, notice these words, the love of the Father is not in him. There is a choice, and we have made that choice. And notice this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, this is the way our Lord was tempted, but remember, he overcame. Adam and Eve were tempted in these ways. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You'll find it in the newspapers today. Those are the same temptations that people have today. It is along these lines that we are tempted. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the clincher, dear friend, in the argument. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Lust will always fail and pass, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that wonderful? You know, these are abiding things. The world is passing. It will pass. It fades away. But the things of the Lord, they will endure. Praise the Lord, dear friend. We have freedom from sinning. In other words, we do sin. It's not been eradicated. But we can aim at living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. What a wonderful truth that is. And you could go on, and you could go on in it. Turn with me, if you will, as we move on. And we'd like to turn to chapter 5. Now, I would like to speak about fellowship. It says, my fellow laborers. We speak of my fellow helpers, my fellow citizens. We know of fellow heirs, fellow servants. There are a number of scripture references, fellow soldiers. Every way you go, there's more and more and more. But we want to look at a third truth that we find here. We want to notice assurance. We have the fact of assurance. And we want to notice that in the Word of God. Now notice chapter 5. We'll lead into this. The chapter is looking at a threefold witness. And notice it says in verse 6 of 1 John 5, this is he that came by water and by blood, the baptism and the death of our Lord and Savior, even Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is true. There is a threefold witness. Christ in his baptism, Christ in his death, and he sees a witness with the Holy Spirit. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, you can establish something. These in the Word, just like on this earth, establish a witness. These things are witness. But then it goes on to say in verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word who is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. This is the witness we have in the Word of God. Now this confidence is interesting. It says, he that believeth in verse 10 on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. We have the witness through the Spirit in ourselves. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Liar is mentioned a number of times in the epistle. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's truth is the standard, the truth in the gospel. It says, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. It's a serious thing not to believe the record. This is the record. And notice it says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? It's eternal life there. You see it? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That is as simple as it can be. Either we're saved and we have eternal life, or we're lost and we do not have eternal life. And this is the ground of our assurance. But here's our assurance in these things. These things have I written unto you, the written Word of God, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now this is the word to know as a fact. To know a thing as a fact as in the written Word of God. Paul used another word, that I may know him. The word from which science comes, to know by acquaintance, to know by experience. But that isn't experience. This is to know by the Word of God, which is given to us. Harry Ironside tells the story of a lady that lived the life of sin. The gospel preacher came through, and she heard the wonderful truths of how to be saved. And she got saved, trusted the Lord, And Ironside said that scripture verses were given to her about assurance, and this was one of them, that she may know that you have eternal life. He went through the plan of salvation with her. She had a little girl, and both of them went away happy in the Lord Jesus. And they went home. She lived a life of sin. The next morning, she got up. Previously in the night, she had shown the little girl the verses in the Bible, marked it in the Bible. The next morning, the lady was beginning to doubt. She wasn't so assured. The little girl went back, ran, got the Bible, looked at the verses, brought them to her mother, and said, "Mother, the verses haven't changed. The verses haven't changed. It still says the same thing." The little child led them. And you know, dear friend, that's the wonder of it all, that the Word doesn't change. And we're in Christ Jesus. That's why we're saved, because we are trusting Him as our own personal Savior. So we're saved and we know it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and to know it. To know it and to enjoy the assurance. I believe I've known Christians that saved, but somehow they did have periods of doubt. You've known Christians like that, and they had to have help in the things of the Lord. Wonderfully saved, but somehow Satan would help them to doubt. Dear friend, here is assurance, and a Christian lives that kind of life. Now, what kind of assurance do we have? Now, you'll notice through this, there's so many things that we know. You know, that's the important thing. What do we know? The longer I live, the more I'm interested in what really is true. You know, it's like the old philosopher gave. He said he'd like to rather know a few things for certain than a lot of things that ain't so. And you know, the longer you live in this world, you want to know what really is true and what really is so. And this is the important thing, what we know. I heard a story once, and I just heard it. I don't speak of it as a fact, but I just heard it and from memory as I would remember it. But someone was saying that there was a man traveling. He got off the beaten track. And he was in the backside, it seemed, of nowhere, and was trying to find his way back. I've had experiences like this. I was going to speak in Newport News one time, and how I ever ended up off the main road, I do not know, but I ended up in a place called Zunai. I don't know where Zunai is, and I couldn't find it today. And just how I found my way out of where I was, I don't know, but I did find a way. In that kind of situation, this man was looking around. He saw a young man by the roadside, pulled up, and he told the young man his plight, that he was lost and wanted to find a way back. And he asked him where such and such a place was. "Do you know?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, can you tell me where we are?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, can you tell me where I can go and find somebody that I can find out from?" He said, "No." And then the man got a little exasperated. You know, you can get exasperated when you're looking for something like that. And the man looked at the young man and he said, "Well, you just don't know anything, do you?" The young man looked at him and he said, "Well, I'm not lost. I'm not lost." Well, he knew enough to know where he was. He knew enough not to leave it. And he knew where he was. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that we'll never know. And if you're in school, don't worry about everything like that. There's a lot of people, that people even are teaching you, they don't know it either. And they don't understand it. They're giving back what they have been taught and what they have been told. The book stands, and the Word of God will stand through all ages. Dear friend, we don't know everything, and we won't know everything till we are with the Lord in the everlasting joys of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, dear friend, we know so much, and we rejoice in the things of the Lord. Now notice what we know very quickly. Verse 14, "And this is the confidence. We have confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Now there's the secret of prayer. 1 John tells it. Some people say that I can have anything. The Lord answers prayer. 1 John brings out according to His will. The Lord answers yes, no, wait. And in that light, let's remember that. If we ask anything according to His will. Some people think, well, oh, I want $1 million. Lord, give me $1 million. That's not the spirit of the Word. According to His will, we have confidence. And you know that. And you pray, men and women. Encourage you in it. Keep on for the Lord. Verse 15, and if we know. You know, the we is very significant in 1 John. He talks about we in the first chapter we read. Many times he says we have seen, we know. He joins with the people of God. If we ask, he says we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Look down at verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, does not continue in sin, does not practice sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Notice, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He keeps us, and we keep ourselves from the wicked one. You know, that's confidence, dear friend. That is what we have in the Lord Jesus. Remember that as a Christian. The Lord will keep you, and the Lord will bless you. And nothing can take you away from Him. And then it says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Amen? This world lies in wickedness. Nothing is sacred anymore. Do anything. And look at the laws of the land which seem to favor and promote wickedness. I read from Billy Graham something that tickled me in one of his books. And this is no way against the medical profession. I'm sure that doctors would laugh at these things too. You know, nobody claims to know everything and so forth. But this man had some kind of a disease. It seemed to be an unusual disease, but he went to the doctor. The doctor thoroughly examined him, but the doctor didn't have the faintest idea what was wrong with him. He had no idea, not the foggiest, as you would say, of what was wrong with him. And he couldn't say, think of what to say. He had to prescribe something and didn't know what to do. So then he looked at him and he said this, have you ever had it before? Have you ever had it before? Now, who's the doctor and who's the patient here? You know what I mean? And the man said, yeah, I've had it several times. The doctor looked at him and said, well, you've got it again. And without the foggiest idea of what the man had or what he needed, he wrote out a prescription for him and sent him on his way. Billy Graham said, you know, that's the way the world is today. Lost in sin. Sin is rampant. Everything seems to be wrong. And man doesn't have the foggiest idea of what's wrong. Doesn't have the foggiest idea of the prescription that's needed. And that is the cross of Christ in the Lord Jesus Christ. A dear friend, 1 John is a wonderful book. You know it. Continue to read it. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Amen.